shoes, please. Take off your belt, please. Turn over your liquids, please. Prepare for your enhanced pat-down. Yes, this is the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome, America. Welcome, truth seekers, to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in once again for Mike Malloy. Broadcasting tonight and all week long, with the exception of Thursday, when we'll be bringing in a tryptophan special from Mike Malloy. Broadcasting all week long from the Left Coast, beautiful KTalk AM 1150 studios in downtown, beautiful downtown Burbank. Not so beautiful tonight. Cold, cold and windy out here on the West Coast. So for a change, if it makes you feel any better, we know what the rest of you are feeling out there across these fruited plains. And, well, hell, if I think it's bad, imagine how the folks out there in Seattle feel. What was it, like 16 degrees or something? And, hell, if you people in Seattle feel bad, imagine how the folks, our friends up in Alaska, feel. Epic storm up there. Stay warm, America. I am Brad Friedman, in for Malloy, here to keep you warm all night and all weekend long. So cuddle on up to the radio. Not too close, though, because I kind of got a cold. Yeah. But I'm here anyway because, you know, us guest hosts, we don't get guest hosts. So it's me, no matter how I feel. Glad you could join us tonight. Big show ahead for you. Our numbers are, if you want to call in, our numbers are 877-520-1150. That is different than the usual Mike Malloy number. Don't bother them. Well, they wouldn't be bothered. They're not going to answer anyway. They're out having fun this Thanksgiving. And Lord knows they deserve it. 877-520-1150 will be our number. When you do want to call, we would love to hear from you. You can also stop by the chat room. We got an open chat room tonight all night long at bradblog.com. Stop on over there to the top of the blog and click on the comments thing, and you'll see it. You'll figure it out. You people are smart, right? There's a chat room there. Desi Doyen will be moderating the chat room for you as best she can, while she also answers your phone and runs around and makes me hot tea and stuff like that. Yes, I've got my water, got my Gatorade, got my nasal spray. There's my nasal spray. Got my Kleenex. Tony's got a call coming in for some reason. He'll get to that. We've got a big show ahead of for you, as I said. We've got the Secretary of State of Ohio is going to be joining us in just a few minutes. Jennifer Brunner, the outgoing Secretary of State of Ohio. She's going to be, I'll tell you what, a week or two ago, we had an election, I hear, in this country. And what do you know? What happened in Ohio? Touchscreens started flipping again. Again. Still. And Jennifer Brunner has done actually quite a bit to improve the system in Ohio. Unfortunately, there's only so much she can do. And, well, if you didn't pay attention, Republicans have now taken over as governor in Ohio and Secretary of State in Ohio. Jennifer Brunner did not run for re-election. And so, looks like 212 is going to come barreling upon us soon enough. And the question I have for the Secretary of State of Ohio is, will we be looking at another 2004? Another 2004 Ohio presidential election when we get to 2012? Yeah, plenty to be worried about. What, me worry? You can also Twitter us tonight at The Brad Blog. I'll be doing my best to keep an eye on the Twitters at The Brad Blog, and as well as on the chat room. And later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Timothy Carr from freepress.net to talk about net neutrality, where that stands right now. But frankly, and to be honest, more importantly to me, where does the fight to restore fairness to the people's airwaves, to the public airwaves, where does that fit into anybody's agenda? When we look around this country, when we see everything falling apart, and I spoke about this a week or so ago when I was covering for Mike. Hell, I speak about it every time I'm covering for Mike. When we look around at all of the problems we are seeing in these United States, where do they all come from? Failure of the mainstream media. Why? Because we've got phonies, liars, paid shills, corporate spokespersons out there 24/7 on our people's airwaves, our airwaves, who are lying to the people, who are passing on disinformation, BS. You know, it's one thing if you don't agree with anyone's policies. You don't agree with Barack Obama's policies, that's fine. Lord knows I don't agree with many of them. But, you know, the ones that I don't agree with, it's because I legitimately understand them and I am opposed to them. I am not opposed to his imaginary policies. I'm opposed to his real policies. Most of America is opposed to his imaginary policies because we have liars, shills, prostitutes, pawns, pimps, and phonies on our airwaves 24/7, and something needs to be done about that. So we're going to be talking to Timothy Carr about net neutrality, making sure that that stays available for the people. But what the hell can we do to get the public's airwaves back for the people? That's the bottom line, folks. That's the bottom line. That is everything. Well, anyway, says me. And we'll see what Timothy Carr has to say about it and where the hell the Democrats are on it. There's a lot of other stuff. You know, last year, around this time of year, I was actually broadcasting from Dallas last year, covering for Mike, when the Christmas Day bomber... Oh, man. When that nonsense happened, and I didn't even want to talk about it because it was so stupid. You remember, Tony, right? I was infuriated that I even had to talk about it. You had all these right-wingers, all these wingnuts running around. Oh, my God, there's a man, he's got explosives in his underwear. What are we going to do? It was like, people, it's the land of the free, the home of the brave. Man up, America! But they didn't, so I had to talk about it. And here we are a year later, and what are we doing now? We're pulling down your pants, we're feeling you up, we're sending you through the porno scanners. What the hell are we doing here, people? What the hell are we doing? So I suspect I'm going to be talking about that too today, but I'll tell you what. You know what? If it wasn't for the fact that there's a Democrat in office, we wouldn't be talking about this at all. Folks on the left, the progressives, we'd be out there yelling and screaming how invasive this is. Folks on the right would be saying, oh, well, you guys are just, it's a post-9/11 world. Don't you understand? This is necessary. We have to take away your freedoms. Well, now we got a Democrat in office, so all the right-wingers, they're more than free to, complain about whatever it is because it's Barack Obama's fault, naturally. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with the Secretary of State of Ohio. One of my favorite tweets today from Rep. Jack Kimball, the Republican congressman from the 54th Congressional District in California. They only got 53. But anyway, he says, just saw a foreign policy tweet from Christine O'Donnell. It's like seeing a Dexys Midnight Runners reunion concert. Hope you old people out there get that joke. I know I do. Brad in for Malloy. Much more straight ahead, including the Secretary of State of Ohio. Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative citizen blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, from bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We are joined right now by the Democratic Secretary of State of Ohio. Jennifer Brunner joins us. She was she of course took office in 2006 after 16 years of Republican control. In 2008, it should be noted, she earned a Profiles in Courage Award for her reform of Ohio's voting system. Madam Secretary, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Brad. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. Glad to have you in Ohio for, two more months?
That's about right.
Oh, brother. Okay. Well, I said before we went to a break that Ohio has now been taken over by Republicans. Jennifer Brunner did not run for Secretary of State this year, so we've got a Republican governor coming into office, a Republican Secretary of State coming into office. This concerns me for reasons I'll discuss in a bit. But, Madam Secretary, if you could, first, let me give you the softballs first before I make your life tough.
That's kind of you.
It's at least that. You know me.
Yes.
And by the way, I think last I saw you was the Democratic Convention in, where were we?
September of 08.
That's right. In Denver. I think I got you drunk as a skunk on margaritas. Was that?
I don't think so.
That was not.
I don't drink on duty. I drink a lot of iced tea.
I see. My mistake. Okay. So the softball questions first. Since you came into office in 2006, what can you tell us to reassure us about Ohio's voting system, the changes that you have made that will, frankly, hold up in the years ahead after you leave office?
Well, I'll start with some of the structural things, which really have to do more with permanence and as much as you can be permanent in the election world. The League of Women Voters had filed a lawsuit against Ken Blackwell, my predecessor, really looking to remedy about 30 years of election transgressions in Ohio. So we were facing $4 to $5 million in attorney's fees to try to settle it, but we were able to settle it because we implemented, in collaboration with the League of Women Voters, a lot of great practices that assure better training, that assure more transparency and accountability for the election processes, not just at the state level, but at the county levels. So we agreed to a 6-year consent decree, which was in 2009, with the League of Women Voters, so that even when I leave office, the new Secretary of State is going to have to do things like continue to provide flip charts or these very simple and easy-to-use training manuals for all the poll workers. The Boards of Elections have to engage in pre-election planning, which has to be available for review by the public. The use of backup paper ballots in particularly larger turnout elections. There's a whole host of things that we institutionalized, which is the better way to do it. An election system shouldn't depend upon one person being at the top, but it should depend upon a system that's been devised and strengthened with laws and rules, and in this case, a consent decree that not even the legislature could overturn. Now, at the same time, we've also instituted rules, a new rule that's that had its first hearing today and we don't think should have any problems sailing through. It deals with how late the precinct locations can be changed. So we're moving that to 45 days before the election. So we don't have – so first of all, our online information is accurate for voters who look to see where they vote, because they can look online under the Help America Vote Act to find that if they're registered to vote, where it is they vote, they can get a Google map from their home to the polling location.
And the reason you don't want to change the polling place just before the election, because this was something that has been done in the past as a way, last-minute polling change, and so all of a sudden people don't know where to show up, and it just happens to be in heavily Democratic districts. Is that what we're talking about?
And then the problem you've got is that, and we even experienced a little bit of this in 2010, in Delaware County, there were some polling locations that had changed recently, so people were still going to the old locations. Well, if they went to the old location at 7:25 and the polls closed at 7:30, they wouldn't have time to get to the new location. What we did to compensate for that was we ordered the Board of Elections to have extra poll workers at the old location and let people vote at the old location on paper ballots.
And will those new rules stay in effect for the next several years, or will that, in fact, be up to the new Secretary of State?
The kinds of things that we're talking about, like the backup paper ballots, those are in effect as long as the consent decree is in effect. And you know, some of the boards of elections, they have a hard time getting their head around the idea that this is like a spare tire for a car. It's like an insurance policy. You hope you don't have to use it. So we pay for those paper ballots with our HAVA dollar, periodic payments.
Right.
And even then, you still hear them, you know, complain about we have to throw all these ballots away. But yet, when something happens, in the primary election, when we first used backup paper ballots, we had flooding, we had power outages, we had ice storms, we had bomb threats. And, you know, in this case, there were counties that had they not had the backup paper ballots, people would have been turned away. And when that happens, you have disenfranchisement occurring because you can't guarantee that every person will be able to come back.
It sure does. And this is one of the I got to get to a break here. We'll have a much bigger segment after the break here. Speaking with Secretary of State of Ohio, Jennifer Bruner, unfortunately, the outgoing Secretary of State. When you talk about the backup paper ballots, does that mean that everyone in Ohio may vote on paper ballots if they want to, at least as long as this consent decree is in effect? And how long is it in effect?
It's in effect for 6 years. So I believe it will be until the end of 2014 at the earliest. So, the reasons they can vote a paper ballot is if the machine breaks down or there's a power outage or if the lines are too long or if they just prefer and feel more secure voting a paper ballot.
All right, we're going to take a break. More with the Ohio Secretary of State, Jennifer Bruner. Did you hear that, America? Ohio gets to vote on paper. Everybody in Ohio gets to vote on paper in 2012. Much more straight ahead. Brad in for Mike Malloy.
What is wrong? And the evidence is clear. I'm not alone. There are thousands of us here. This is my democracy. You won't go telling me my vote don't matter anymore. And is not worth fighting. This is our democracy. We'll fight to keep it free. You won't go telling me.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. That's Victoria Parks with My Vote Don't Matter Anymore, a song that she wrote. She's an Ohio voter. She wrote that after the 2004 election, when she overheard a man who tried to cast a vote in Ohio in 2004, had a hell of a time doing so, and he basically said, my vote don't matter anymore. And Victoria Parks wrote that, what I believe to be a classic song. We are joined by the Ohio Secretary of State, Jennifer Bruner, a Democrat who will be replaced in just a couple of months, sadly enough, by Jennifer, what's her name? Dave Yost is his name, right?
Oh, no, it's actually Republican John Husted.
Oh, John Husted. Okay. My mistake. I got to get this.
Yeah, John.
Okay.
Right.
What do we know about John Husted, by the way?
Well, I can tell you about the transition that we've had so far.
Yeah.
And I was very prepared for that. So I called Senator Husted. He's actually former Speaker of the Ohio House and then ran for the Ohio Senate after term limits and has been an Ohio senator in the Ohio legislature. So I called him the day after the election and suggested that we get together as soon as possible to talk about transitions. So a week after the election, he came in, and we were able to give him really a very nice menu of things that he had to choose from. So the transition document was the most important thing, which was what they need to do in the first 90 days, what they have to do over the course of a year, even the numbers of full-time employees at each board of elections in the 88 counties in Ohio. He was given budget information, employee information, table of organization, revenue projections, since we do collect fees for the state. And then I told them you can have two full-time employees of your choosing on staff to actually execute the transition,
mm-hmm.
and offered to send him to an orientation in Texas before the end of the year. So I know from what I've heard outside that they're thrilled with the cooperation that they received in the transition, and it's much different from what I experienced with former Secretary Blackwell. But my philosophy is that the office doesn't belong to me, it doesn't belong to him, it belongs to the people, and it doesn't matter whether we're separate parties, we owe it to the people of the state to ensure a smooth transition, and I owe it to my employees as well.
Well, you do, and I do remember speaking to you way back when in 2006 about the mess that you faced coming in following your predecessor, J. Kenneth Blackwell, which now brings me to the difficult questions. You deserve great credit for your study of electronic voting systems out there in Ohio, huge study, Everest, which turned up so much valuable information about these voting systems. And I know that after that study, you recommended that all of the counties in Ohio, all 88 counties, get rid of their touchscreen voting machines. And anybody who knows anything about these unverifiable voting systems knows that, you know, they are antithetical to democracy. Nonetheless, last week or 2 weeks ago, we ran some video at bradblog.com of a voter in Stark County who caught, with his iPhone video camera, who caught his votes flipping from a Democrat to, I think it was to a Libertarian candidate, on the Diebold touchscreens that they are still using in some, what, two-thirds of the counties out there, at least?
It's more than what we would like. Yes, it's about 47. It's a little over half. Oh no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. So the Diebold, I think, is about 46 or 47 counties, and then we have about another 10 or 11 counties using the ESNS touchscreen, and the rest are using paper ballots.
Right, and frankly, they're all, pardon my French here, they're all crap. I mean, they cannot be relied on. They can't be verified. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Problem with the Diebold, and we've tried to tell the boards of elections this, is that when they're calibrated, they have to be calibrated with a stylus and not with your finger. And we learned that when we did a test in Dayton a couple years ago, when we saw that there was this vote flipping. And as much as we talk, it's like being a parent. You know, you wonder sometimes when it's going to sink in.
Well, even if they are, you know, I mean, I'm not always that worried particularly about the vote flipping. What bothers me more about that is that then you have these guys coming in and recalibrating them in the middle of an election, which I think is insane.
They really can't recalibrate them because the LNA testing has to be done. Logic and accuracy mm-hmm. testing has to be done. So we had the same thing going on in Fairfield County. And we literally had them take the machines out of service that day, and they were able to use backup paper ballots. So the problem is that the screens for the Diebold machines, which are now Premier Election Solutions, but mm-hmm.
Dominion to be keep up.
Yeah, well, now Dominion's taken that over, although ESNS can sell everything
right.
but a whole system and service it.
Right.
It is interesting for an interesting combination of relationships.
Yep.
But the problem is that Tyco says, according to its industry standards, you know, who makes the screen, that there's a certain percentage that they're permitted to be safely off in terms of calibration.
Right.
And I don't really think that flies for voting.
Well, but the problem is, even if they work, even if they're accurate, we have no way, the public has absolutely no way of knowing that even one vote was ever cast accurately as per the voter's intent on a touchscreen voting system, and that's including with the so-called voter verifiable paper audit trail. We just can't know. It is, as I like to call it, 100% faith-based voting. Now, I know, Madam Secretary, that you have got different rules than we do out here in California, where the Secretary of State was able to just decertify and just tell these counties, that's it, you're done, you're not using these machines anymore. But is there nothing more that you can do? As you can tell, I'm quite worried about 2012 Ohio. Is there nothing more that can be done on your end before you leave office that might somehow encourage, order, I don't know, these counties to, you know, return to verifiable voting across the Buckeye State?
Well, we will be doing post-election audits this year, and that's something that has to continue to be done for the larger elections. And the process, I'm in the process of finalizing that directive now for the boards of elections, but the process is that they have to compare the VPATs with the electronic returns for a random for random precincts that would comprise initially, I believe, 7%.
The VPAT, just so people know, that's the verifiable paper audit trail.
Right.
So that needs to be compared in a post-election audit.
The electronic results for those precincts. And then if the votes are off by any more than two, then they've got to add in more. And if they can't get it to work, they end up having to hand count the entire county. Now, that should give people some assurances. I know that a lot of people do not check the voter verified paper audit trail, the VPAT, as they're voting. They're focused on the screen and what's going to come next. And so in the end, for instance, with the Premier VPAT, they can see a summary of their ballot. But with ESNS, every keystroke is registered on the VPAT. So even if you undo a vote and change it to something else, that still appears on the VPAT, which means that you've got a lot of paper moving through there pretty quickly that it's hard to keep up on and hard to check every single thing against your vote unless you make the conscious effort to do it.
Right. And let me also add, if I could, Secretary, that a bunch of studies, one recently, I believe, from Doug Jones, University of Iowa, also found that of those people who actually do check their summaries at the end of voting, two-thirds of them don't notice when their vote has flipped, even when they do bother to check it. I mean, this is a serious problem. I can't believe anybody in America is still using these systems after all that we have come to learn about them.
Well, the problem that we ran into in Ohio was funding. And I pushed as hard as I could push. I pushed the Democratic governor. I pushed both houses of the legislature. We have set up a revolving loan fund that we were hoping to fund with capital funds this year, but the state legislature never passed a capital bill. So that's been the major problem, because in Ohio there could really we tried also to pass an election reform bill, came close, but the legislature, when it's now flipped to all Republican, has decided not to hold, for all intents and purposes, a lame duck session. So that's because the state and the federal governments issue the requirements, but the counties have to do the funding. Now, the first round of funding after the Help America Vote Act was federal dollars coming through the states to pay for the new voting equipment. But what people seem to forget in this post-punch card era is that this electronic voting equipment, whether it's optical scanners, but especially the touchscreen machines, aren't made to last as long as the punch card systems and counters did. So, I mean, just imagine putting your computer in the middle of a shopping mall and having people, say you've got some kind of a touchscreen computer, you've got an iPad now, and people come by and they mark on these things, they do different things, and they cast their votes on it. Well, how long do you think that's going to last?
Right.
And that's been a huge problem. I've seen these machines, the legs fall off of them. Mahoning County, which is Youngstown, Ohio, bought the electronic machines before the VPAT requirement was actually put in the law in 2003. So their machines had to be converted with add-ons for the VPAT. So they're working with smaller screens.
You're not making me feel any better about 2012, Jennifer.
Well, I can tell you this. As I've toured the 88 county boards of elections, we've got people in boards of elections in Ohio who are only working, the counties are only funding them to work part-time. You may have two part-time workers who staff those boards of elections, but yet they'll come in and they'll put in the extra hours beyond 40 hours, up to 60 hours, and they do it because they know that they owe it to the public. What I see with a lot of local election officials, especially the ones who are now mastering the new systems, is that the election, doing election work, they understand exactly what it is that they're doing in terms of carrying out democracy, and it kind of gets in their blood, and they work very, very hard. Sometimes what happens when there's a clash between the Secretary of State and the election officials is that the election officials are the ones in the trenches. So they're looking at these huge masses and volumes of paper and work that they have to do. So sometimes they tend to put the efficiencies ahead of, well, how's the voter going to feel if they're confronted with this type of procedure or situation? And so it takes a Secretary of State with the bird's eye view to say, no, we're going to take it from the viewpoint of the voters. And I'm sorry if this means that you have to do more work, but we want the voters to understand exactly how this process works and feel confident about what it is we're doing and that their vote really counts.
And I would argue that it's hard to have that confidence, no matter how good the poll workers are, with the voting systems you're using. Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner, are you able to hang on for one more second? I know it's for one more segment. I know it's late out there.
Yeah.
You don't mind? Thank you.
No.
I really appreciate it. A couple of quick questions I want to ask in the remaining time that we do have. Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner for one more segment. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Going to ask her about hand counting paper ballots and what she's doing next right after this.
Mama gave birth and we were checking. In November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Was sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner, who is the outgoing Democratic Secretary of State. She'll be, I guess, done by the end of this year, replaced by the new Republican Secretary of State John Husted, who comes in with a Republican governor. Just in time for the 2012 elections. Madam Secretary, we've got just a couple of quick minutes here, so I will be quick about it. But over in the chat room at bradblog.com, Big Lib jumps in to say, Brad, I live in Ohio's 16th Congressional District. Please tell Ms. Brunner I said thank you for all she's done. Wanted to make sure to get that to you, Madam Secretary, since I'm always so tough on you.
No, that's very sweet. And you tell her, I'm happy to do it. It's my job.
There you go. Okay, real quickly, since we only have a few more minutes here, it sounds like there is nothing that can be done between now and the time you leave office to ban these infernal touchscreen systems. But when last you and I talked a couple of years ago about this, we had talked about a pilot program for hand-counting paper ballots. You had said at the time you would be interested in something like that. I take it we haven't been able to do anything like that. Is there any chance for that in the future, something that you might be able to encourage even after you leave office?
The chances probably aren't great. We have a directive that tells boards of elections how to hand count ballots. And where, for instance, we are using that is in the situation of a double bubble. Double bubble is on a paper ballot, and we are using more and more paper ballots in Ohio because of no-fault absentee voting. So in 08, it was 30% voting before the election. Most of that was paper ballots. The vast majority was. So if a double bubble situation is when someone fills in the oval for the candidate whose name is printed on the ballot, mm-hmm. and it so happens, if, for instance, we see it more often with the ballot rotation where that name appears just above a write-in space, and they fill in the bubble for the write-in space and write in the same candidate's name they voted for. In the past, that would have been spit out by the counter as an overvote and not counted. I have, to the chagrin of the boards of elections, I have made them go back and find all of those double bubbles, determine voter intent as the law requires, and to count the votes, those votes that are like that, which means they have to hand tally those votes and then add them in manually into the tabulation system.
Is that a procedure that will have to stay in place when you're predecessor? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And believe me, the boards don't like it.
Well, I'm sorry, boards, but I think counting everyone's vote is a good idea, and it's a refreshing thing in Ohio. And in no small part, we have you to thank for that, for the procedures, the changes that you have made during your tenure. So what is next for you after you leave office, Jennifer Brunner?
At this point, my plans are to go back into private practice, so there may be some election law work there that I'll be doing, as well as doing some consulting, teaching, and writing. I ran a law firm for 13 years, or almost 13 years, and was the administrative partner before I was elected judge. And for a while, I had to resign as judge to run for Secretary of State, so I went back to the law firm. So I kind of look forward to being a free agent again and getting out of the crosshairs for a while.
And maybe we can bring some lawsuits, and maybe we can help put J. Kenneth Blackwell, your predecessor, in jail where he belongs. Is that something we can do?
I think he's actually working for some think tanks and doing some consulting and so forth. At this point, we still have custody of the 2004 ballots. They're still the subject of litigation.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to actually have those stored at the state library, but the litigation is not yet terminated. So the next Secretary of State will get to actually do something with those ballots when the time comes.
And that case continues, and I know that Karl Rove was actually subpoenaed just a few days before the 2010 election in that case, with the approval of your office and the AG's office, as I recall.
Right. The attorney asked me if I would have any problems lifting the stay in the litigation for the purposes of the deposition, and of course I wouldn't. So that was the extent of what I did, and I believe he was actually served with a subpoena at a TV recording studio.
Yeah, I think when he was doing CBS News Sunday, as I recall, Face the Nation. Jennifer Brunner, thank you very much for spending your time here tonight and for your service for Ohio. I suspect we may be talking again in the future, but thank you for everything, Jennifer.
Well, thanks for what you do too, Brad.
You bet. Have a great night.
You too.
All Take right. Net neutrality and fairness doctrine, all of that straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy.